time. Elusive, different. You know, it was only in the beginning of the 20th century that the concept that time was the same for everyone was modified. The whole theory of relativity and thermodynamics and all those things came into play. And even if you're not a quantum physicist, you know that time is different. Think of a 4 or a 5 year old. My mother was in a grocery line. She was about 95, 96 at that time. Kind of short, a little shorter than me, pretty wrinkled, looked old. And there was a little boy, 4 or 5, standing behind her, and he just kept staring at her. She smiled and she, you know, acknowledged him. He just stared, and his jaw came up, and then he said, "You must be really, really old." And she looked at him and she said, "Yeah, I am. I am really, really old. How old do you think I am?" "You must be at least 9. A lot. True story. Concept of time, you know? And then on the opposite end of the scale, you have Daniel Shore. I don't know if anyone heard his interview, one of his last interviews as an NPR commentator, but they were saying, "What is it like to be so active and engaged still at 95? And he goes, "Well, Christmas comes up at least 3 times a month." I'm about there. How many of you is Christmas is like, it can't, no. No. I'm sorry, Martin, you are not old enough to, no. But it feels like it's Christmas again, really? So time, how do we measure it? How do we manage it? Einstein really led science to abandon that sense there is an absolute measure of time. And it was Stephen Hawking who really expanded that. And if you have not read his brief history of time, do not. It gets pretty thick. I mean, he goes on and on about entropy. But it's fascinating. And he focuses on 3 arrows of time. And I like to think of that arrow as those arrows as kind of that dash that we're all on, that sort of straight line that time projects. Time does not wobble. I mean, it doesn't take a break and go to the left or the right. It's just like, it's going. And we are either on it or we're not. And so the first arrow of time that he recognized and affirmed was a psychological arrow of time, which is each of our individual perceptions. And the idea, we cannot perceive, I think, what was his famous quote? "We can't remember the future." That's what got him thinking about this. Why can't we remember the future? That seems foolish to those of us who don't practice quantum physics, right? I mean, of course you can't remember what hasn't happened. But that was his, like, cutting edge, and he really wanted to prove that we could somehow reverse the direction of time and remember the future. So that sort of moment to moment, something happens, it's in our past, we remember it, we march to the next one, that continuum is what we all experience at the varying rates that our age allows. It's a very subjective experience of time. Now, entropic time, or the thermodynamic time arrow, is the concept. Now, if there's a physicist here, I'm going to see if I can get this right, that there is always a movement of the universe towards chaos, towards disorganization. Those of us who have teenagers know that, and that without some added energy, heat, light, some source of energy, entropy and destruction continues. It takes a mother or a father or a sibling to step in and clean up the messy clothes, put them back in order, throw them in the laundry, or bad smells appear. Entropy continues. Houses dissolve around us unless we're painting, fixing, shoring up foundations, fixing that rotten sill. Bricks do not pile themselves up. It takes some energy. And Hawking's favorite example was the shattered cup. That entropy is that cup smashing on the floor. Natural laws do not put that cup back together. It will sit there, and the ceramic will deteriorate, and it will get worse and worse and make a very bad mess until something, some energy, either tries to put it together or cleans it up. So that's the thermodynamic law of time, that our time progresses in a direction based on those thermodynamic laws of entropy, that in all of us are deteriorating on that line. Sorry, but we are. Unless we're putting a lot of energy into our physical well-being, right? And then we can slow that entropy down just a bit. Now, the last one is cosmological time. And that's based on the Big Bang theory, that the universe has been and is continuing to expand from that moment of Big Bang. And time will keep going in this direction along with those other two arrows, the three of them marching right along together that way, until the universe begins to contract, which they predict will happen. Not sure when. But at some moment, it will get as big as it's going to be, and then it will start going like this. And the theory is, when that starts happening, one of those arrows is going to turn around and go the other way. And nobody knows what's going to happen then. Stay tuned. So, because of those arrows all going in the same direction, we have this subjective experience of time. It's always going in the same direction, and it's different for each one of us. And because we can't have that cup re-put it together, itself together, without our assistance, time really is in our hands to manage. We can do nothing about the universe. We can do nothing about the theories of thermodynamics. But we can do something about our psychology, our exertions of energy. What will you put your time and energy into? And actually, what you choose to do with your time will either slow or speed up your experience. How many of you have experienced the time warp that happens with the death of a loved one? When the earth is and the world is sort of spinning at its normal 33 RPMs, for those of you who remember albums, vinyl. And when someone dies, it shuts down. Your world turns maybe at 16. And what I remember is that if you move your head, it takes a while for the world to catch up. And that you sit in this quiet, slow motion with the others who are experiencing your loss, beloveds, family. Friends bring casseroles. You sit. You talk. You don't venture out into the world too often because it's jarring how fast everyone else is moving who has not shared your loss. That's how our time slows. When we give our intention and our attention to love, to relationships, to honoring what is most important. And I have noticed that it is not just death that slows time down like that. Whenever I choose to give my attention to something really important and share that with others, time quiets. The rush and the chaos of so many demands slows down. The list becomes so much easier to manage. We have that choice available to us each and every moment, from when we are old enough to actually have conscience about time, and our parents help us to learn patience. We're invited by time, by that dash, by those arrows, to live our lives to the fullest. The goal? To arrive at the end of our dash with no regret, with a sense of satisfaction, a sense of, well done, well done. I lived the life I truly wanted to live. I fulfilled the meaning of my life in a way that nobody else could. I used to wear a button all the time that said, "Destined to be an old woman with no regrets." I think it was Robin Williams in the Dead Poets Society who said, "We are all destined fools for worms." Fools for worms. True, true. And he inspired his students with the term carpe diem, right? Seize the day. Probably every poet since carpe diem. Carpe diem was part of Horace. It was Horace back in sometime BC, 60, 70 years before Christ, that he wrote that poem, some ode, and he coined that phrase that we've been sort of thinking about ever since. Carpe diem. I think it's the name of a coffee, too. Well, you could be a coffee achiever, right? It helps you seize the day. Emily Dickinson, Charles Baudelaire, his is my favorite, be drunk. Wine, poetry, or virtue as you wish, but be drunk on your life. There are people that we all know, regardless of their age, who have seized their dash, their day. And you know them when you bump into them, because there's a twinkle in their eye, there is a bounce in their step, and it doesn't matter whether they're 9 or 90. They do not need to go first in line. They're gracious. They live without judgments. They listen intently. And when you talk to them, you feel like you are the most important person in their lives. They have the capacity to make each one of us feel cherished, acknowledged, seen. As a hospice nurse, I got to accompany many of these people on their final journey. Some of them had been that way all of their lives. Some only discovered it with the moment they stopped treatment and put themselves on that hospice list. They died without regret, in a state of grace, often with a smile upon their face, almost always holding the hands of those who loved them. They were people that had a generosity of spirit, gave selflessly without fear or resentment. Their life was not focused on immediate gratification. Stephen Hawking had 76 years, and what a life he lived, more than most of us, if we were around twice that long. And think of it, 40 plus of those, maybe, was it 26, 50 of those years, encumbered by ALS, never unhappy, always curious. What will you do with your dash? There's a variety of lengths of dash left for each one of us. What will you do? Maybe that's the true dimension of time. that is relevant to each one of us who are not nuclear physicists. To make peace with the theories, accept the mystery of it all that you can't understand, and then accept control over what you can. Not the expansion of the universe, for sure, but perhaps the expansion of your mind, of your heart, where you choose to put your energy, what entropy will you slow, what sure movement towards destruction will you interrupt. As I walk down this path, I see the reflection of sky staring back in radiance. The song of the birds, the productivity of the squirrel, and it raises a smile. The laughter of children at play, the sonata of nature's conversation. I sit by the picture of life and I begin to ponder. I ponder what was, what is, what will be. I ask myself, what is time? An illusion? A tapestry? A sacred text? Or just a work of art? Maybe time is simply a relationship. The stars in a story. And without the creature of bright light, me, you, then what? Would time stop? A passage through life, a road through our mind, a brief moment, a dash, our dash. Time is a god of its own.